Do we have like a cloth? Somebody, when we cleaned up last, it's not completely clean over here. We just get this with a cloth. We're starting on the introduction. This is written by His Grace Shubhananda Prabhu, who is a great scholar within ISKCON. It begins on page Roman numeral 7. The origins of the text known as Brahma Sanhita are lost in cosmic antiquity. According to Vedic tradition, these hymns of Brahma were recited or sung countless millennia ago by the first created being in the universe, just prior to the act of creation. Thank you. The text surfaced and entered calculable history early in the 16th century when it was discovered by a pilgrim exploring the manuscript library of an ancient temple in what is now Kerala state in South India. Who is the pilgrim?
Lord Chaitanya.
Prior to the introduction of the printing press, texts like Brahma Samhita existed only in manuscript form, painstakingly handwritten by scribes and kept under Brahminical custodianship in temples, where often they were worshipped as Shastra deity, or God incarnate in holy scripture. The pilgrim who rescued Brahma Sanhita from obscurity was no ordinary pilgrim, and his pilgrimage was not meant, as is the custom, for self-purification, but for world purification. He was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, saint, mystic, religious reformer, and full incarnation of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, descending into the present epoch for the salvation of all souls. At the time of his discovery of the text, Sri Chaitanya was touring South India, preaching his message of love of Krishna and promulgating the practice of Sankirtan, congregational singing of the holy names of God. Sri Chaitanya commenced this tour shortly after becoming a monk, sannyasi, at the age of 24, and the tour lasted approximately 2 years. After a southward journey from Puri in Orissa state that carried him to holy places such as Sri Rangakshetra, Setu Bandha, Rameshwar, and finally Kanyakumari, Cape Cormoran, he turned northward and traveling along the bank of the Payasvini River, Travancore state, reached the temple of Adi Keshava in Trivandrum district. Sri Chaitanya's principal biographer, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 9, that upon beholding the holy image of Adi Keshava, Krishna, in the temple, Chaitanya was overwhelmed with spiritual ecstasy, offered fervent prayers, and chanted and danced in rapture, a wondrous sight that was received with astonished appreciation by the devotees there. After discussing esoteric spiritual matters among some highly advanced devotees present, Sri Chaitanya found one chapter of the Brahma Samhita. What we now have as Brahma Samhita is, according to tradition, only one of 100 chapters composing an epic work lost to humanity. Upon discovering the manuscript, Sri Chaitanya felt great ecstasy and fell into an intense mystic rapture that overflowed into the physical realm, producing a profusion of tears, trembling, and perspiration. We would search the literature of the world in vain to find a case in which the discovery of a lost book inspired such unearthly exhilaration. Intuiting the Brahma Samhita to be a most valuable jewel, he employed a scribe in hand-copying the manuscript and departed with the copy for his return journey to the north. Upon his return to Puri, Madhya Lila, chapter 11, Sri Chaitanya presented Brahma Sanhita to appreciative followers like Ramananda Roy and Vasudev Dutto, for whom Chaitanya arranged copies to be made. As word of the discovery of the text spread within the Vaishnav community, each and every Vaishnav copied it. Gradually, Brahma Sanhita was broadcast everywhere and became one of the major texts of the Gaudiya Vaishnava canon. There is no scripture equal to the Brahma Sanhita as far as the final spiritual conclusion is concerned, exults Krishadas Kaviraj. Indeed, that scripture is the supreme revelation of the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in Brahma Sanhita, it is essential among all the Vaishnava literatures. Madholila 239 through 240. Now, what of the text itself? What are its contents? A synopsis of the Brahma Sanhita is provided by Srila Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, in his commentary to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and is quoted here in full. In Brahma Sanhita, the philosophical conclusion of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference, is presented. It also presents methods of devotional service, the 18-syllable Vedic hymn, discourses on the soul, the supersoul, and fruit of activity, an explanation of Kama Gayatri, Kama Bija, and the original Mahavishnu, and a specific description of the spiritual world, specifically Goloka Vrindavan. Brahma Samhita also explains the demigod Ganesh, the Garbhadakshai Vishnu, the origin of the Gayatri Mantra, the form of Govinda, and his transcendental position and abode, the living entities, the highest goal, the goddess Durga, the meaning of austerity, the five gross elements, love of Godhead, impersonal Brahman, the initiation of Lord Brahma, and the vision of transcendental love enabling one to see the Lord. The steps of devotional service are also explained. The mind, Yoga Nidra, the goddess of fortune, devotional service and spontaneous ecstasy, incarnations beginning with Lord Ramachandra, deities, the conditioned soul and its duties, the truth about Lord Vishnu, prayers, Vedic hymns, Lord Shiva, Vedic literature, personalism and impersonalism, good behavior, and many other subjects are also discussed. There is also a description of the sun and the universal forms of the Lord. All these subjects are conclusively explained in a nutshell in this Brahma Sanhita from Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Volume 4, page 37. In spite of the seeming topical complexity of the text, the essential core of the Brahma Sanhita consists of a brief description of the enlightenment of Lord Brahma by Lord Sri Krishna, followed by Brahma's extraordinarily beautiful prayers elucidating the content of his revelation. An earthly, beatific vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, and his eternal, transcendental abode, Goloka Vrindavan, beyond the material cosmos. This core of the text stretches through verse 29 to 56, and a brief subsequent exposition by Lord Krishna on the path of Krishna Bhakti, love of God, brings the text to a close. The Brahma Samhita's account of Brahma's enlightenment is quite interesting and can be summarized here. When Lord Vishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, desires to create the universe, a divine lotus flower grows from his navel, and Brahma is born from this lotus. Footnote. According to the Puranas, the material cosmos is created and destroyed in a perpetual cycle through eternity, and so the act of creation is not a one-time affair, but one that is repeated an infinite number of times. As he is not born from parents, Brahma is known as Swayambhu, self-existent or unoriginated. Upon his emergence from the lotus, Brahma begins, in preparation for his role as secondary creator, to contemplate the act of cosmic creation, but seeing only darkness about, is bewildered in the performance of his duty. Footnote. Once the physical universe and its constituent parts are brought into being by Lord Vishnu, Brahma's role in the creation act is to evolve the multifarious types of bodily forms, species, to be inhabited by the innumerable conditioned living beings, jivas, in accordance with their previous karma, actions performed by them during their existence in previous millennia. Saraswati, the goddess of learning, appears before him and instructs him to meditate upon the Kama Bija mantra, Kling Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Balabhaya Swaha, promising that this mantra will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. Lord Brahma thus meditates upon Lord Krishna in his spiritual realm and hears the divine sound of Krishna's flute. The Kama Gayatri Mantra, Kling Kama Devaya Vidmahe Pushpaba Anaya Dimahi Tanno Nanga Prachodayat, the mother of the Vedas, is made manifest from the sound of Krishna's flute, and Brahma, thus initiated by the supreme primal preceptor himself, begins to chant the Gayatri. As Srila Prabhupada puts it, quote, when the sound vibration of Krishna's flute is expressed through the mouth of Brahma, it becomes Gayatri, from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, page 322. Enlightened by meditation upon the sacred Gayatri, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse of the ocean of truth. Inspired by his profound and sublime realizations, his heart overflowing with devotion and transcendental insight, Lord Brahma spontaneously begins to offer a series of poem prayers to the source of his enlightenment and the object of his devotion, Lord Sri Krishna. These exquisite prayers, verses from the heart of these exquisite verses form the heart of the Brahma Sankhita. There is nothing vague about Brahma's description of the Lord and his abode. No dim, nihilistic nothingness, no blinding, bright lights, no wispy dream visions of harps and clouds. Rather, a vibrant, luminescent world in transcendental color, form, and sound, a sublimely variegated spiritual landscape populated by innumerable, blissful, eternally liberated souls, reveling in spiritual cognition, sensation, and emotion, all in relationship with the all-blissful, all-attractive personality of Godhead. Here is a sample. I worship Govinda, Krishna, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desire, in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock's feather, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds and its unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. I worship Goloka Vrindavan, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant, where nemulous milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk. The commentator reminds us, page 104, that in the transcendental region of Goloka are found the same elements as are found in the mundane worlds, but in their highest purity and beauty. Trees and creepers, mountains, rivers and forests, water, speech, movement, music of the flute. The sun and the moon tasted and taste. Krishna's divine abode, Goloka Vrindavan, is a world in the fullest and realest sense. There are those who will have difficulty with Brahma's highly graphic and personalistic depiction of the spiritual world and of the liberated state. Some, for instance, whose conception of transcendence is determined by a certain logical fallacy based on the arbitrary assumption that spirit is a literal opposite of matter, and thus that because matter has form and variety, spirit must necessarily be formless and unvariegated, conceive of ultimate reality as some sort of divine emptiness. However, any conception of transcendence that projects or analogizes from our limited sensory or cognitive experience within the material world is, by its very nature, limited and speculative and thus unreliable. No accumulated quantity of sense data within this world can bring us to knowledge of what lies beyond it. Residents of this material world cannot get even a clue of transcendence, argues our Brahma Samhita commentator. Quote, by moving heaven and earth through their organic senses, unquote. The Brahma Samhita teaches that transcendence, truth, ultimate reality, can be apprehended only by the mercy of the supreme transcendent entity, the absolute truth himself, and that perception of ultimate reality is a function not of speculative reason, but of direct spiritual cognition through divine revelation. This revelation is evolved through bhakti, pure, selfless love of God. Only by such spiritual devotion can Krishna be seen. Quote, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Verse 38. Further, as our commentator explains, the form of Krishna is visible to the eye of the pure spiritual self in proportion to its purification by the practice of devotion. Page 75. Bhakti, as a state of consciousness, then, is attained through bhakti as a practice, a discipline. For this reason, Lord Krishna, in his response to Brahma at the end of the text, summarizes the path of bhakti in 5 aphorisms. This devotional discipline goes far beyond conventional piety. It necessitates, quote, constant endeavor for self-realization, verse 59, involving both a turning from worldly sense-gratificatory activities as well as sincere absorption in spiritual practices and behavior under the guidance of authorized scripture. Through such practice, then, the materialist is purified of his tendency toward philosophical negation and comes to understand the nature of positive transcendence. Others will find Lord Brahma's vision of the spiritual realm problematic for a related but perhaps more subjective emotional reason that goes to the heart of the human condition. There is a kind of ontological anxiety, a conscious or subconscious apprehension about beingness or existence itself that goes along with the embodiment, life in the world, that accompanies the soul's descent into the temporal, endlessly changing world of matter. Material bodies and minds are subjected to a huge variety of objective and subjective discomfitures, unpleasantries, and abject sufferings within the material world. Viewed philosophically, embodied personhood, false self, ahankar, is, to a greater or lesser degree, innately a condition of suffering. Because personal existence has been experienced by materialists as essentially painful, writes Prabhupada in his Bhagavad Gita commentary, quote, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. When they are informed that spiritual life is also individual and personal, they become afraid of becoming persons again, and so they naturally prefer a kind of merging into the impersonal void, unquote. 4.10 purport from Bhagavad Gita. Entering the path of bhakti, however, such persons can gradually begin to experience their real spiritual selves and a release from egotistic anxiety. In that purified state, they become able to relish Brahma's vision of blissful, personal, spiritual existence in Goloka. Still others, however, might criticize Brahma Sanhita on the grounds that the text, being quite specific and concrete in its depiction, merely offers another limited sectarian view of God and his abode, a view in conflict with other similarly limited views. Such persons prefer a kind of genericized deity who doesn't offend variant theological views with definable personal attributes. Brahma Samhita, however, is not a polemic against competing conceptions of the deity, except those, of course, which would deny his transcendental personhood. Vaishnava tradition does not dismiss images of the divine derived from authoritative scripture from beyond its own culture and conceptual borders. It respects any sincere effort at serving the Supreme Person, although naturally it holds its own texts as most comprehensive and authoritative. It promotes neither an arrogant sectarianism that would constrain transcendence to exclusive cultural... What is that?
Ideational
or linguistic forms and burn a few heretics, nor a syncretistic ecumenism that would try to pacify all claimants on the truth by departicularizing it into bland vagary. Let the syncretists and the sectarians come together to appreciate at least the aesthetic magnificence of Brahma's theistic epiphany. What we are experiencing through Lord Brahma in his Sanhita is not mystic hallucination nor quaint mythologizing, nor an exercise in pious wishful thinking. We are getting a glimpse, however, dimmed by our own insensitivities into the spiritual world as seen by one whose eyes are tinged with the salve of love. We are seeing through Brahma, an eternal transcendental world of which the present world is a mere reflection. Goloka is infinitely more real than the shadowy world we perceive daily through our narrow senses. Brahma's vision of the spiritual realm is not his alone. It is shared by all those who give themselves fully unto the loving service of Krishna. Though Brahma admits that Goloka is known only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. Verse 56. We are not asked to accept Brahma's account of transcendence uncritically and dogmatically, but to avail ourselves of the spiritual discipline, bhakti yoga, that will gradually lead us to our own experiential understanding of this highest truth. The publishers of this small volume hope that a careful perusal of the text will inspire bhakti in the heart of the reader. It should be noted that Brahma Samhita is an advanced spiritual text and is more easily understood once one already has some familiarity with texts such as Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This volume is a new and expanded edition of an English language Brahma Samhita edition published in India in 1932 by the Gaudiya Mutt, a Chaitanya Vaishnava religious institution, with subsequent reprints in 1958 and 1973. These editions featured the English translation and commentary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, 1874 through 1937, a great Vaishnava saint and scholar of wide repute and the founder of the Gaudiya Mutt. It was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati who inspired the founder and spiritual master of the Hare Krishna movement, his dearmost disciple, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to journey to and teach Krishna consciousness in the West, beginning in 1965. As per Srila Prabhupada's instructions regarding the publication of this volume, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's somewhat technical and sometimes difficult prose has been left intact and virtually untouched. Fearing that any editorial, grammatical, and stylistic tampering with Bhaktisiddhanta's text might result in inadvertent changes in meaning, Prabhupada asked that it be left as is, and the editors of this volume have complied with his wishes. Only typographical errors have been corrected, capitalization has been standardized, Sanskrit terms in Devanagari script appearing within the English text have been transliterated, and already transliterated terms have been adjusted to international standards. In this edition, the original Devanagari text is shown for each verse of the Brahma Samhita, followed by Roman transliteration, then by a word-for-word translation into English. The original Indian edition lacked the latter two features. These, in turn, are followed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's full English translation and commentary. His commentary closely follows that of his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 1838 to 1914, the great Vaishnava saint, reformer, and prolific scholar who initiated a revival of pure Chaitanya Vaishnavism during the latter part of the 19th century. Finally, an index and glossary have been added for the convenience of the reader, as well as several color plates. The Indian edition of Brahma Samhita included the complete text in Sanskrit of the commentary of Jiva Goswami, the great Chaitanyite philosopher. But that has been excluded from this edition because, in light of the relative few in the West who would benefit from its inclusion, it was decided that the necessary doubling of the volume size and price would be disadvantageous. In his commentary to the 28th verse of the text, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati writes that Lord Chaitanya taught this hymn to his favorite disciples inasmuch as it fully contains all the transcendental truths regarding Vaishnava philosophy. And he asked his readers to study and try to enter into the spirit of this hymn with great care and attention as a regular daily function. His disciple, Srila Prabhupada, was very fond of Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna, Govindamadi Purusham Dhamaham Bhajami, and there are several recordings of Prabhupada singing these prayers with obvious intense devotion. The publishers joined with the commentator in inviting readers to dive deeply into the sweet transcendental ocean of Brahma's hymns as a daily meditation. Shubhananda Das. Gopri Manande Hari Hari Bol.